Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Headphones on, and we're in.
Hooray. Hello. Hello. Welcome. Welcome, one and all, to this, a very special edition of the Worst Idea of All Time.
Very special. This is the 40th time Tim and I will have watched Grown Ups 2 together.
Yes.
Which, as we've sort of, weekly, I believe, we're just smashing the world record week after week. So
yeah,
congratulations, Tim, on a new world record.
We're beating our own record every week. Like, that guy is going to do that dive soon.
Yeah, what's he doing? He's diving.
He's diving 102 metres, free dive.
Into the water.
He can hold his breath for 7.5 minutes, bro.
That's a long time. You interviewed him.
Oh, yeah, very briefly.
You were like...
I was real morbid.
You told him you might die or something.
Well, I reminded him that it's possible because, you know, it is. I'm going to sort this cable out. There's so many cables here, guys. That's what you don't understand.
You've really got to see it to believe it with the cable situation. We are rolling film on this. Yep. Tim and I are about to do a director's commentary.
They said it shouldn't be done.
That's right. They said it shouldn't be done.
But here we are,
and we are ready and roaring to go.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah. So if you'll hear that, you'll figure out how to sync the movie. It's up to you.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk you through it or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm starting the Blu-ray in 3, 2, 1. All right, do we have what? Oh, that's so loud.
We've got audio.
For us? Let's turn that down. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are opening to a beautiful sweeping shot of a bit of a Lady Liberty. Columbia Pictures,
a Sony Pictures entertainment company.
And when did Sony Pictures buy Columbia? No time to figure that out, guy, because we're on to our second indent. It's Happy Madison Production. My favourite bit of the movie coming up now.
Terrific.
That was it. That's my favourite bit of Grown Ups 2, when the old man
it's
says,
shame it's so early, isn't it? And we're greeted with a sweeping vista of a sort of small American town. Trees abound.
This isn't our director's commentary. It's not for blind people.
I don't know. I'm figuring it out. It's a great way to start the movie, though, isn't it? It sets a lovely tone.
Welcome to Stanton, Connecticut. That's what it says to me.
Well, yeah. You wouldn't know it's Stanton, Connecticut. It could be any town in America.
It could be any town
in New
Zealand.
It's every town, you know?
But they broke that in the movie, eh? The Simpsons movie, they told you where it was.
Did they?
Yeah, it was. Oh, no time to discuss that, guy, because it's our first special appearance. Yeah. It's a CGI deer.
If you're starting a movie, you want to start big, and nothing's bigger than, for no apparent reason, a deer in the bedroom. I mean, that's a different start to any day you've had, I'm sure.
I've never woken up to a deer. You've brought this up many times, Guy, and I quite agree with you. It's apparent early on. But why is he saying open the window and your mother's here? Like, it's just such confusing stuff being said by Lenny Fader.
I don't understand how this is going to solve the deer problem. You're going to have to forgive us for repeating ourselves, because we're probably going to be leaning on a lot of memories, because I've got no idea what I've said about the movie before, you know?
Neither do I. It's hard to separate out thoughts from words, from
This is big. The deer's obviously pissing on Adam Sandler, which is a big, nice, sort of gross out, but PG-friendly gag.
Yeah.
really setting a strong tone. This is ridiculous. You cannot ride that deer, Greg.
Yeah, the physics of the deer have really... They've always kind of fascinated me. Because it's obviously when they're doing those shots where it's just the antlers, they're using a puppet. But the CGI shit, it's like... Can deers gallop like that? Just bloody gallop around on a wooden floor?
Well, you'd think they'd slip around. I mean, their hooves are used to the wild, which is a lot grippier than... this is a pretty well-kept wooden
floor.
Yeah, the wild is grippier than a house.
Than the house.
Than a wooden floor.
It's like a metaphor, right?
Yeah, that is a metaphor.
Okay,
hey,
deers
I'm
can't
a lot
do
of the dialogue.
What?
Are you getting all the dialogue in the movie? Just in my headphones.
You are getting it or you're not?
I'm not really getting it.
You're not getting any of it?
It's just real quiet. It's like it's being whispered in my ear.
Oh, really?
From a distance.
Try fiddle with a cable, mate. See how that plays you. Do you want to... We'll swap headphones midway through, right now.
Okay.
Let's see, because I've got pretty good...
This is a fun little technical issue for you to listen to.
How about now? Oh, I see what you're saying. It's different on this one.
Is it? It's not as good, eh? Oh, yeah, you got a great audio feed. You're bloody living in luxury over here.
Oh, mine's perfect. That means the splitter's not working, guy, is what that is.
Paid $10 for that at Dick Smith.
Yeah, I figured you'd get the cheapest one. I figured it would probably be a shambles of a situation.
I didn't remember my wallet when I went to the shop. I was just like, I had enough coins in the car.
Do you know what? I think we can just wing it like this. I've seen the movie before.
Okay.
39 times.
You comfortable with that?
Every now and then we'll just swap headphones. It just adds to the, adds to it.
Okay, back to our regularly scheduled program.
Sorry about that, folks. What you've missed is, so now Lenny Fader waving the monkey in front of the deer. How much did they spend on the deer, bro?
I haven't looked into it, but I'd say you could have built a few houses with that money. Or one really big house.
One detail that you'll see is on the bowl for the dog food, it just says dog.
They haven't bothered to put Bowser's
name.
I like that. I think it's
there.
A good sort of Easter egg, a little treat for the regular watchers.
So silly. So silly.
Becky Fader is a phenomenal actress.
Yes, we need to draw more attention to this. Becky Fader is a tour de force.
Yeah, just be aware of that. Keep an eye on her throughout the film. She's a real scene stealer, and she plays very well against Adam Sandler's aggressive dad character.
Mm.
I mean...
Look at Greg. Oh, you missed it, but...
Greg looks stoned.
Greg looks so high in that. Okay, now this is a baffling scene where a mother is... giving math questions to her child.
The angle we want to take is, why did we put this in? We're the directors, remember?
Yeah, I know. Let's explain what it is first. So this was a beautiful moment where, you know, when I was a child, as the writer of Grown Ups 2, I was abused a lot.
Yeah.
Psychologically, emotionally, a little bit physically as well. And what I have always wanted is a set of parents who just supported me, you know?
Through thick and thin.
Through thick and thin, good and bad. I wanted, I've always dreamed for some parents who just love me for who I am. And I never had them, guy, so I took it out on the movie-going public of America and the world.
In the form of these characters.
The whole movie, guy. The movie is a trick. I've tricked you. See, what I've done is I've inserted a couple elements that I would like in my own life, such as an incredibly supportive mother, who happens to be kind of weirdly hot as well, because I'm a little mixed up in the head. But what I've also done is I've put that little nugget inside of a giant wooden horse, and I've gone to the gates.
A Trojan horse.
Of cinema. And I've said, I have a gift for you. And Sony Pictures Entertainment went, fabulous. Another Sandler horse. We love these horses.
Sandler makes the best horses.
They opened the gates. The horse entered, along with my weird sexual issues.
All of your problems.
Emotional problems.
Loaded into the horse.
With my growing up
you
period.
You filled up a horse.
The clue is, I named it Grown Ups, too. So, the horse is in. The horse is behind the gates.
Yeah.
And suddenly, action time. Here's what happens, guy. All of my ideas pop out, and they've got bows and arrows and burning oil and lighters and flamethrowers and coconut bombs.
What's a coconut bomb?
I don't know, but I think coconuts are the right shape to make a bomb out of.
Okay.
So you hollow out the husk, and you put explosives in it, and you light it with a flax wick, and you throw it into the city
Why is this such an old-style weapon?
I say, huzzah, I have tricked you with my horse. So, at this point in the movie, we're introduced to David Spade's character.
My congratulations to anyone who understood I failed to understand, I guess. Tim, that was great, is what I'm saying.
I think. It was the tip of the hat to the Trojan horse, as you well know. So, Higgins, we love. You actually identified it very early on. I just thought I'd keep going.
David Spade is another shining light in the film.
Oh, damn it. We've got to keep... Damn it. Oh, we're too late on it. There's a couple that are there one shot, then it goes to the two shot with Braden, then it comes back to Higgins.
Feel free to rewind it and have a look if you want. It's not that good. It's not the best continuity error in the film.
I'm a bit chesty guy. I've got a touch of bronchitis.
That is a horrible thought.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's a good gag.
That is a good gag.
That is indisputably a good gag.
Braden holds up a picture of Higgins. See, it's hard to cater for both the audience who are going to be just listening to this and those who are going to be watching the film with this.
You'd assume that we'll just assume that they're watching it.
Okay.
They're watching the film with the audio. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
You don't listen to just the audio track of any director's commentary.
That
would be insane.
I don't want to leave it up to people to have to figure that out. They'll have to adjust the volume.
Imagine walking around listening to a director's commentary. But very well, someone could be doing that right now, which must be confusing.
If you are,
for you.
You're crazier than us. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'll tell you what we do have on hand, though, if you're just checking out the audio, is 12 delicious Christmas mince pies. We're bringing in the Yuletide season.
Oh, yeah. It's late November. I try not to celebrate Christmas until early December, as a general rule.
Oh, they're so good.
They're very dry, aren't they? I bet you're finding that. I tried eating those yesterday. They really drive me out. Okay, so here's the beginning of some serious relationship problems, and we put these into the movie just so that there'd be some form of conflict. I mean, every movie needs conflict, and we're finding ours. I mean, it's a very rushed time for Selma Hayek to bring this conversation topic up. She's on the way to work in the car, and she goes to Adam, "Hey, Adam, by the way, I'm thinking about starting. I think we should have another kid. Just drop that bombshell and leave."
Although, to be fair, that kind of mirrors the way in which that dialogue was thought of, because we said to Selma Hayek, the studio executive's come back to us and he needs a romantic storyline and a bit of drama. We're rolling in 30 seconds. Can you grab this ball and run with it? Can you do this, Selma Hayek? She said yes. She did a wonderful job.
Yeah. They had a very similar casting process to Curb Your Enthusiasm, where they'd come in and do sort of improvised scenes around the characters. They're very heavily and well-developed characters.
That they were shooting the entire time on Panavisions.
Yeah.
And we had our full lighting and mic sound set
up. That's right.
The whole time they were improving. Look,
Selma was just great on set. I mean, she really got along well with the kids.
Fun fact about Grown Ups 2, sorry to interrupt you there, Guy. We used literally everything we shot. There isn't a second on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, it's true. We could not, we could not have shot any less footage and got away with it. What luck.
We barely got away with it.
This is a masturbating joke. And Tim actually wrote this in. I didn't notice it until we were on set. And then I said, "Oh, Tim, you sly dog, you put a masturbating joke in the movie." And what you said?
I said, "Yeah. I put it in a tiny wooden horse named Becky Fader." And what I did is I took the horse up to the gates of the writer's room and I said, "Look what I have for you, gents. A horse."
Really hitting that horse angle hard. And here's a great, I mean, I've tried this in real life. I try this every day on women and men.
Just Lenny Fader's three-step program for getting chicks.
It's not actually gender-specific. You can try this on men. You make them laugh.
Or transgendered.
Make them smile. Individual. Tell them they have a nice smile. Ask them out that night.
Yeah, you got the important key there.
Anyone.
Is force them to go out with you that night.
Before they have time to realize you're fugly.
Such a weird thing.
And fugly, that was definitely a swear word horse that we took up to the writer's room.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. What I did, Guy. No.
Do it.
No. Okay, so
Becky really wants her doll.
Her doll?
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Gigglesworth.
Mr. Gigglesworth. And Sandler's like, "Yeah, you got it." And then just doesn't think about it at all.
Holy shit.
Day.
I never thought of that. He does.
It was like, yeah, I'm going to get that fixed. And then just leaves it in a box in the house.
If I was a dad and I was lucky enough to have a gorgeous daughter like Becky, who's very sweet and seems like very smart and caring, I'd make that a top priority, man.
Yeah.
That'd be the top of my agenda, not stealing a school bus and going to Kmart.
I'm sorry to stop you here, Tim, but this as rightly pointed out this week on Twitter to one of us or both of us, this is a particularly absurd scene. I mean, this is like the equivalent of a second deer in the bedroom. This is like...
What?
This conversation's going nowhere. We need to introduce something to fucking spice things up on screen.
Yeah.
And so what do you want? You want a bus driven by Nick Swartzen, essentially, who's got some real sexuality issues at the moment, and also has got a real drug-taking problem.
The sexuality angle that neither of us added that in, that was our third co-writer, kind of, to be honest, it was a bit of a curveball for me and Guy. We were sort of like, was this the tone? Is this the movie we want to be making? Is the question we kept asking.
I mean, I think the best thing about the writing process for me, Tim, was that we just, I mean, at some point we just said, look, fuck it, every idea we'll just put it in. We'll just throw it at a page, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think that really came out on set. I mean, the performers were just, except they were right Chris into Rock. It.
Except Chris Rock. Chris Rock was...
You didn't like working with Chris.
Chris didn't like working with me.
Yeah, Chris didn't like working with you. Well, I mean, remember you kept pulling those silly pranks in his trailer.
Yeah, I know, but...
He hated that.
Yeah.
And you kept doing it.
I was trying to lighten the mood.
Yeah, by filling his trailer with bullfrogs.
I thought it would be a funny
You know he's afraid of bullfrogs.
That's what makes it funny.
That's not funny. That's scary.
It's really funny.
5,000 bullfrogs piled on top of each other, spilling out the windows and the walls. Anyone would be freaked out.
If I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times. I apologise. I misread the situation. Well, but there's no reason to take it out on the movie itself.
You haven't apologised to Chris.
Chris doesn't want to hear from me, man. Chris doesn't want to hear from me.
Anyway, he did become a little icy to work with after that incident. And it's a shame that happened on the first day.
He really switched off, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did check out after that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, be a professional, Chris. You know, I'm sorry you don't have your TV show anymore. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't do that.
No, you didn't.
I did do that.
You did that too. Very mean-spirited prank. His TV show's still going, isn't it? Anyway.
Everybody hates Chris.
He was a delight to work with, a real joy.
Mm.
I mean, here, the extras, we pretty much just went around driving that bus, and whoever hopped in, we just filmed after that. So we just took a school bus out for a ride through Stanton, Connecticut, picked them up, we jumped out, Adam and Chris hopped in, they just improv that whole scene. Real pros.
Bing, bang, booyah. I've never got that joke. Who's he talking about?
Who?
White Precious.
Precious is a movie. I haven't watched it, but wow. It's a Hollywood movie and Precious was a character in it.
After 40 times, that's the only reference I think that I never bothered to ask about or research.
There you go. I still haven't really dug into it deeper than what I just gave you. They really bully this kid. I mean, if you're a parent, or I don't know how old this guy is, but I'm assuming his parents had to sign off on the script. This kid is getting laid out. Those are some pretty full-on bullies.
Oh, yeah.
Bullying, like beanbag with arms and legs. This is a real actor we had to get.
he's a human being, as Sherry Terry says.
Yeah.
I'm a person. You know what's amazing, bro, with this headphone splitter? I'm only getting like the background music.
Yeah, I know.
It's fucking that one's, awesome.
That one's real different.
You really traded down, brother.
Nah, well, I find it easier to comment on the movie.
You've
like
got
this.
The audio experience we've had for the last bloody 39. This is just score. The original score.
You like that?
So good.
Yeah? You like walking around listening to movie scores, don't you?
Yeah, big time. Hans Zimmer is my
boy. What's your favourite movie score to walk around listening to?
Probably Daft Punk's Tron.
I can see you walking around to that. I haven't heard that either.
It's real good. Sherry Terry's on set now. Wasn't she a delight to work with, Guy?
Yeah, Sherry Terry's a real firecracker.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Like,
she,
Jesus.
She didn't really have to dig too deep. Or like, this character was very familiar for her. This is very similar to Sherry.
An insane sexual being. Sherry. We have never had so many harassment suits. As the 4 days Sherry Terry was on set, it was insane.
Really quite full on.
Jesus Christ. I cannot implore you enough to not work with her. If the opportunity or situation ever arises, Sherry Terry, she will rip your pants off with her teeth.
I liked Sherry.
It's because you're a miscreant.
I thought she was a real pro, real professional, just came in, got the job done.
All score.
Shame we could only give him 4 days.
So good.
This is Kevin James's brother. Now, Kevin just brought him along one day. We didn't write this character in. Kevin just brought him along and said, hey, guys, I've got a funny sketch I want to do with my brother.
Yeah. I'm glad he did, too.
Yeah.
Principal Tardio turned into one of my favorite characters, which didn't really pop off the script when we originally wrote.
Wrote
the movie.
Yeah.
Studio still thinks that too. Did you know that?
You are winking on camera. They can see you winking.
My bad. Principal Tardio is just so great. He looks probably more like anyone else in this movie, just like a cartoon character. He's like a 3D cartoon.
He is
cartoon,
isn't he? Right through.
Just the look, the voice.
Now, one thing that we couldn't quite figure out with the DOP was how we could get a shot of Principal Tardio walking towards the bus so we could see those blue footprints.
Yeah,
we had real trouble with that, didn't we? Oh. So eventually we just had to do it head on and lose the gag.
Yeah, which if you look carefully is still there. You can still see all the blue footprints. And that took a whole day shooting to get right out of the 7 days that we shot for. So it was a real, it was a real pain in the ass that we couldn't get the shot.
That's right. Now, for this next scene, we'd like you to know that we used real stunt people to play Nick Swartzen's character. So you're going to see it in the bus. He's hanging from the roof. Now
Do we not want to comment on Kevin James's mother? And we don't really talk about. What went down, eh? That was the arrangement.
Yeah.
We do not discuss.
We had 15 people on set for that very, very gag that you just saw
and
there.
And we still killed a guy.
We lost 13 of them.
It was bad news.
We went to Sony and we said, look, we've got 13 corpses on set and the blood's on your hands. Mm. And they were not happy.
They were really... angry is a good word for it, and disappointed.
Irate. I thought sort of actually somewhat unprofessionally so. We had to get that shot. That is an integral part of the film. That was the first gag we wrote. That was the first part of the script we wrote.
That was actually that's the movie, really. That's the gem of the movie.
That is the seed of the movie.
What I find weird, though, is that the studio are fine with us talking about the 13 stuntmen we killed, but they... We had to sign the thing about Kevin James's mother.
Well, even now I'm afraid to talk about it.
How weird is that, though? Ladies and gentlemen, Gordon Lovitz.
Yeah, it's his twin brother. We couldn't actually get John. In the credits it says John, but this is Gordon. He's a lesser-known Lovitz, but he's a hell of a guy, isn't he?
He's still a Lovitz, as we said on set.
He's not John Lovitz, but he's a Lovitz.
I love me some Lovitz. You'll see here.
I'm loving it.
Adam Sandler's wife.
That's good. I'm loving it.
Okay, we might be on point to get our first continuity error, and it's a really tiny one. There's so many, and Guy and I do know them all, but...
You go for it.
Okay, you got to look in the mirror at Maya Rudolph, and it's... Oh, no, it's not for a little bit. I think it's when Kyle comes in, actually. Yeah, it is. Okay, you give for
Kyle's,
a while.
No, Kyle's about to come in, isn't he?
Not quite yet.
And slap your butt.
Let's just enjoy John Lovitz for a second, because this is the best...
I still feel bad.
That is the single best delivered line in the movie. I challenge anyone to disagree with me.
Now, when we wrote this part, we just thought the movie was lacking in sort of really outright misogyny, or like alluding to the fact that we find women somewhat subservient.
Yeah, we thought that'd be funny.
So we thought that would be funny, so we put that in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how the writing process
how the writing process worked for us.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Now, Tim, you know I'm a huge advocate for hiring an objective, professional, licensed professional to tell my problems to, so that when they tell me what they think, I know I'm getting it straight. That's where BetterHelp comes in.
That's right. BetterHelp have a big pile of professionals to talk to at your convenience online. You've done a bit of therapy, right, Guy?
I started doing therapy during, there was a pandemic. I don't know if you remember. And the benefits were immediate and long-lasting. They help give you skills that you can use when you are in stressful or anxious situations. Honestly, it's changed my life for the better.
I guess that's why they call it BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/alltime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/alltime.
Oh, we missed continuity error too.
Kid Dynamite is what we named that little boy. I've forgotten his real human name, but we on set we just called him Kid Dynamite. Okay, so Maya Rudolph's character is who you're going to be wanting to look at for your first continuity error that I have been on point enough to get. She's got her arms folded in one shot, and then it goes snaps back to her like frontal, and she's got hands on hips. So it's still got a couple lines to go. I really like the delivery for Adam Sandler's wife on that one, by the way.
Yeah.
Are you married? It's good. Sweet. It's sweet.
Sweet toot. Sweet toot.
Okay, here we go. Oh, look at that extra in the background in the center of frame. Just
working
we
it.
Told her so many times to stop moving, she would not pay attention.
She had a real bee in her bonnet, that one.
Okay.
I'm looking for this continuity here. Have we got
I know, it's occupied so much time, but where is it? Oh, okay, here. Hands on hips. Boom.
Boom, yes.
Boom. Nailed it. Yeah, continuity number one. Yes.
I got massive pins and needles in my left leg.
Oh,
right
do you?
Now. That feels crazy. No, Leo, it's all right. It's just real ticklish.
Do you want a Christmas pie?
Okay.
Do you
know Kmart. Yeah. Fuck. I got to say.
All right, we got to talk about this.
Kmart were absolutely wonderful to work with. They were real pros.
I'll just say this real quickly. In the audio from the $10 headphone splitter you've got, all I could hear was like the laughter they had taped, like the canned laughter they had
added. It's quite a surreal, freaky experience.
What the fuck is going on
that
here?
That is honestly like
this
the movie.
This is tapping into some
that's like the
movie's
being
shit.
Whispered at you from like 100 metres away.
It's audio tracks that you can't. It's weird, man. It's fucking weird.
Look, people can't understand that right now, so we'll just tell them so about working with Tim Meadows. Now, Tim Meadows is a real pro.
Oh, yeah, Kmart. Yeah, so Tim Meadows came with Kmart. What happened is Kmart paid us a substantial amount of money. Let's just say my boat isn't named Lady Kmart for nothing.
That's right. We went into the meeting with Kmart thinking we could maybe get...
We were looking
$500 million, 10, yeah. 10 times 50, $500 million out of them.
I've got to keep checking that timer, mate, because it'll run out at some point.
We'll be able to see because the camera will go down.
Can you read the number from there?
No, but the camera will just die when we need to reset it.
No.
And it's not an interesting... We're going to stick to the movie.
So, there we were with our hands outstretched.
Hands, our hats in our hands saying, look, we'll take $500 million. And Kmart said, they bellowed a deep laugh and they said, $500 million. We'll give you $5 billion and call it a day.
Yeah. So we spent 3 of the 7 days just shooting inside the Kmart and the Kmart car park. One of the stipulations was when they gave us the $5 billion was that we had to include Tim Meadows in, which I was fine with. I didn't have an issue with it. I thought it was weird.
I wanted to work with Tim anyway. Yeah,
I thought it was fucking weird.
I don't know what the relationship between Tim Meadows and Kmart is, but they are in bed together in a very confusing way.
Things got a little muddy with his character.
I think Tim is contractually obliged to sleep in a Kmart every night. His whole family has to sleep. And I mean, I do not know the details between these two parties, but Tim and his whole family, they're living out of Kmarts.
They
tour the Kmarts around America.
That's what I'd heard as well. Yeah, they just exist a Kmart lifestyle. I think that's the tagline.
Live the brand.
Live the Kmart.
Yeah, well, because he does. Remember, he's got. We had to put the makeup over his neck, but he's got "Live the Brand" written in Kmart style letters across his neck.
Yeah,
which is pretty terrifying.
I can only imagine how much money they gave Tim Meadows. But one of the situations that came up, which compromised our integrity, just at squash, was that the CEO of Kmart insisted on inserting his own catchphrase onto Tim Meadows' character, which is how we got the recurring "what."
He's very curious, the owner of Kmart, isn't he? He's a curious
an odd
man,
dude.
He wonders about everything, but he's got a very short attention span. Mm. was a roid freak. He got bagsits on his bagsits. Besides,
what the fuck am I hearing now?
The exercise machine.
No.
Probably. Where? Oh. So Tim and I are trying to learn this the whole film by rote. See these two extras in the background walking through? Watch
two girls.
They're about to do it again.
Red top, blue top.
Oh my God. It's deja vu all over again.
They fucked that up, didn't they? That's what we in the Matrix call a glitch.
That's right.
In the Matrix. What were you saying before?
I genuinely do not remember. It was a very exciting point, though. I like this T-shirt. He bought this T-shirt himself, Robert O. I tried to buy it off him out of him $100,000. He said, there's just no way. It's his favorite T-shirt.
I'm hearing music playing under the whole scene. Are you getting any music?
No, I'm not getting music. Should we swap back?
I'm so confused.
I want to hear what you. I want to see what you're talking about.
Come live in my world, guy. Ah, oh, now this guy. Can't remember his name, but fuck, he's good. That's what I would say about that.
Oh wow! I mean, you're not listening to anything in these.
No, just pay really close attention though, and you. It's quite a treat.
It's just
now. This is something I've always wondered about because, in my experience, everyone always says popper squat, but he says copper squat.
That was an ad lib.
But which way is correct?
Well, we wrote Popper Squat.
Remember, yeah, but he came in and correct?
Yeah.
Oh, the movie sounds weird now that it's sounded properly.
I've just got silence.
But, dude, wait, because weird production music comes in real quietly in bits that we've never heard it before. This will change you as a man.
Right on. now, Braden's tattoos, that was actor's choice again. Braden loves to doodle. He loves
that was
to doodle.
The original name of this film as well. Grown Ups 2, Actor's Choice.
It was. Oh, now I got some good gym noises.
Do we want to go into why we hate Donna? /
I loved working with Donna.
Damn it. I knew you were going to leave me in the boat alone. I knew you wouldn't help me out on this one.
Donna was a real pro. She was a real veteran.
Hate Donna. Love this guy, though. We call this guy Kid Dynamite on set. Forget his real name, but he was just consistently nailing it. We called him Kid Dynamite.
Which got confusing when we were working with the two Kid Dynamites.
What?
Well, there were, because, you know, there was the baby as well who bites John Lovett's leg was also Kid Dynamite.
What are you talking about? This...
Bumpty.
Yeah. Kid Dynamite.
Those are two different actors.
They're not. Same character, mate.
That was the same person.
It's the same character,
that was the same
mate.
Person on set.
No, it's the same character in the movie. Oh, shit. We just missed the best line of the movie. This is what happens.
They cut the gag there after that buttocks shot. That would actually be a really funny standalone gag. But this cutaway, I think we really dropped the ball on that one.
What it proves is that we did, obviously. We're comedy geniuses. But no one else involved with the production of this movie understand. Like, they would trip over jokes, not know it. Yeah. They'd be quite funny. But then they'd overcook it in the oven.
That's right.
And fuck out.
And leave the turkey in too long.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Call
time
that
to
burning the turkey.
Time to do something.
Time to do something. Tim's just going to change a battery on a camera or something like that. Shooting at Kmart again. Obviously, we wanted to get the word Kmart in as much as we could. Now, Kevin James, he did this as an offer, the burp snart. And I got to tell you, on set when he was recording it, there was no audio effects on it, so it was literally just Kevin James writhing his body and what looked like a really uncomfortable sort of fashion. And I gotta say, post really saved us on that one, because Kevin really sold us down the river with that gag. The burp snart is not a good visual gag.
What's annoying, and you won't know this if you don't work in the film industry, is that usually the process is you write a script and then you give it to the actors and the actors deliver the script. What Kevin James does on every take is we'll insert one offer of his own, which isn't really an offer when we're rolling.
No.
It's just him inserting something into the movie.
Yeah, it's
we've got to use it then.
It's not an ad-libbed offer. What it is Kevin James has something he calls his ideas book, and it's a children's covering book.
I forgot
book,
about the idea.
And it's quite terrifying to read. It's just sort of scratchings with pen and crayon, and he comes in and he's got his ideas book folded up in his back right pocket, and we're shooting, and then Kevin James goes, "Hey, I got an idea," and he'll just open the book and at random just turn to a page and point at it, and then he'll insert that
Not a great artist, Kevin James, either, I'll tell you that. A lot of crudely drawn cock and balls in that ideas book.
Yeah, I mean, I would not like to spend one day inside that brain.
Hey, fun fact about this stunt, Nick Swartzen did the whole thing.
See? Yeah, he's a real athlete, Nick. He actually had to run off set every day at 3 p.m. for his ninja training.
It was so limiting to shoot.
Yeah, I think.
Oh God, it was a pain in the ass.
So much to talk about.
I would like to talk about the budget for this particular scene, because this is when we put 600 extras in school hall. Yeah. And our DOP, he said, we don't need them all. We can cheat this. I could probably do it with 30. Maybe like 35 people, I can make it look like 600.
I mean, between us, we've got a lot of family. We both come from big families. I've got 72 brothers and sisters.
Yeah, my Jewish side and my Catholic side, both sides, both big.
Both big. And we said, look, we've got a lot of mouths to feed.
A lot of Jewish Catholic mouths.
And just all manner of mouths,
my
really.
My yenta's relying on me, and so is my pappy.
And so what we did is we hired... Sort of in a mafia-style move, I believe the executives called it. We hired all of our family and paid them a phenomenally generous rate. We gave each of these extras $500,000 to come along for a two-hour shoot. We just put the ballet on once and filmed. And so they essentially got paid $100,000 each to just sit through a ballet recital. It's a pretty good day's work. I'm really pleased we did that.
Fun fact about the movie... Excuse me. We had more accountants working on our paperwork than the U.S. Tax Department employees. IRS is less people than what we had on the
that's
movie.
That's right. We actually hired a little-known firm called Latin Accountants. And what the Latin accountants do, which is quite good, is they take your regular, easy-to-read English accounts and they translate that into traditional Latin. And then, I mean, you take that to the tax department and you watch them wriggle, I tell you what.
No, it's brilliant. Oh, here's another great delivery from Lovitz. You sure are, John Lovitz, and so are we. Or Gordon. Can't remember who we used in that one.
I'm now hitting the sweet-ass crazy production music sort of. It's just the production music and sound effects are up real high and everything else is down low.
What the fuck is your split?
2012. There's a continuity error for you. This is called the 2012 Journalicious Dance Recital, but we know the movie is set in 2013 because of Chris Rock's watch in a later scene, so that was embarrassing for us. And as we said earlier, Becky's acting here is really strong.
That was embarrassing for us, Guy. Someone should have either considered the brief flash on camera of Chris Rock's watch or the sign. On screen literally for a few frames.
Well, shot the scenes consecutively, which is what makes it doubly embarrassing. And we had 50 people, 50 other family members working on continuity. Not one of them picked up on it. But I tell you what, they earned a pretty penny. We gave each of them $500,000 for 2 days' work, which is a pretty good rate. So I'm really pleased we did that. Really proud of that.
I just decided to round up to a cool half mil for most people who worked on the movie.
Stone Cold, it was a real joy to work with. This guy's a real pro.
Stone Cold was a delight to work with. One of the most professional men I've ever worked with in my life.
Yeah.
And a gentle giant.
A real gentle giant, that's right. And I'd also quickly, as I started the point earlier, Becky Fader here, look at this acting. I mean, I can't, I'm so proud of her and the way she performed. She was
because Sony Entertainment Pictures made Becky. Yeah. By which I mean they are the first studio-constructed test tube baby constructed solely for acting. So we're glad that it panned out because there was quite a lot of R&D money sunk into that.
She's a real pioneer. I suppose actually Sony are the pioneers in that they work with Pioneer on the audio. So she's a real pioneer, Becky.
In this scene, we decided, wouldn't it be fun if we went to a different state for a day?
Yeah, so we shot this in Alaska.
Yeah,
in the middle of winter.
Yeah, we had to spend so much time lighting this scene,
and just shoveling snow. We shot this. We had a 1 week turnaround. We shot this in a full blown blizzard. it was literally whitewashed the whole thing.
Probably my favorite production note from this movie is that though, because we did shoot the scene in Alaska, we didn't have to turn those freezers on for the ice cream. It just stayed naturally.
That's right.
At a great 2 degrees centigrade.
That was actually really frustrating on account that in the movie, the ice cream machine had to be broken. And so having a functioning ice cream machine.
Pointless us going to Alaska in retrospect.
It was useless.
Yeah.
But I'm really proud of the poo gag we did put in here.
Now, who you can see in the background there is Tanya Aiken.
Tanya was a joy to work with. She was a real pro.
Yeah, absolutely. She's actually doing, I believe she's a yoga instructor now. Hot yoga?
Bikram.
Bikram, yeah, hot yoga in
Los Angeles,
California.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great studio. We'll get the details to you at a later time. But yep. I'll
sign
tell
up.
You what, after...
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah, tell them
we sent you. We sent you.
But after a yoga workout, actually, sometimes I'll nip down to Gold's down on Venice, which is just a fantastic facility. I work out with some friends.
Do you know what I like to do if I'm on Venice Beach and I've just hit Gold's and maybe checked out a little of Tanya's Bikram?
Hot yoga. What do you like to do, Tim?
Grab myself a slice of Blaze pizza.
Oh, yes, please. Blaze pizza. I'm not actually involved. It's not like I'm a stakeholder or anything. We at Blaze... I've done it again. Down at Blaze Pizza, we use what they use are artisanal. I can't be an artist.
You fucking wrote it, bro. I'm not.
I didn't write it. Artisanal ingredients, and we flash fry or we flash bake those pizzas in 90 seconds. I mean, you're going to get that pizza. You're going to be in and out, and in time maybe to hit Tanya's second.
I'm
hot
never
yoga
eating
class.
At a place again. With someone so intimately involved in the cooking process, know so little about it.
Oh, I don't work at Blaze Pizza. I'm not a stakeholder in Blaze Pizza.
One thing I'd never noticed about Nancy Arbuckle before, quite a forehead, eh?
Quite
a forehead.
I haven't really looked at it.
Check it out, bruh. It's there.
There was another cartoonish element from Kevin James' brother. Really good stuff from him.
This is about the time in the movie when I get incredibly down on myself.
Yeah, I mean, the movie does drag. Because you'd think the school's just finished.
Yeah.
And for us, we know that that the football scene...
You're going to muffle yourself.
I'm playing with my moustache, sorry. we know that the football scene is the halfway point in the movie. And you'd think, school's finished, you go straight to football practice.
No.
But somehow there's sort of 3 to 5 hours of a day that we just filled in here for no apparent reason.
We had a turn of phrase on set where we call it grown-ups time, where when you're watching the monitors for playback, so you're watching any cuts that the editors would send through of our grabs for the day, like a one-minute clip would feel like about an hour of your life, and we called it grown-ups time.
I've heard it's very similar to hallucinogenic drugs. Mm. People who've done that will say they've experienced the idea that time doesn't exist. Time is a construct around them. And that's what it feels like when we were watching the rushes on set.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. We were in a time warp.
Yeah. And all we had to be an objective measure of where we were on the time continuum was Chris Rock's watch, which perpetually showed last day of summer.
First day of summer. First day of summer, rather. I can't remember what it was. Something of June.
That was our anchor point, similar to those objects in Inception. Chris Nolan taught us so much about movie making, and you can really see it on display in this film.
We really respect Chris. These productions, I mean...
I can't remember, was that a stuntman? Did we get a stunty to do that, or was that Braden?
We got Braden. He didn't like us calling him Braden on set, by the way. He's a real actor with a name, but we never learned it.
We used to call him Kid Dynamite on set.
Yeah.
Just because he was so talented.
Yeah, we did. He was a real pro to work with. Dynamite. So, I don't really know what to say about the scene. I don't think either of us were on set this day. I think we actually took... This is in the middle. We took a couple of week-long holidays.
In the middle of this bit.
Yeah, and I think this is some of the stuff...
You should try and get a closer look at the movie.
This is some of the stuff that they shot.
Get in there, and you get a new perspective on it. We were on holiday at this point, and we didn't realize that they were going to construct a soundstage instead of just finding a location for this. That's 50,000 gallons of water, which we did not need to pay for or deal with as a studio. We should have shot on location, is what I'm trying to say. Possibly worth it for that, though.
I was really getting in there. That summertime shot, there's one thing that they got right when we weren't there.
Yeah. We built the soundstage just so we could get the audio crisp on that line. And to be fair,
they were proven right.
$4 million well spent.
So just as an aside, we're setting a reasonably confusing tone on this podcast with regards to fluctuating between when we were on set and when we weren't on set. So just bear with us. Because, it's difficult for us to remember.
We're figuring it out too,
We were using a lot of ketamine on set, so obviously that really muddied the waters, so to speak.
Now, if you want time distortion, get yourself a little Special K ketamine or horse tranquilizer, as it's more commonly known. That'll really fuck with your Chris watch and Turner watch.
Taylor. Now, Taylor was a real joy to work with. He was a real pro. But I'd like to speak briefly at the moment, if I could, to working with Patty Schwarzenegger. Now, Vic, this guy...
Should we indulge?
This guy is a...
No, hold on. Before you go into that, should we indulge? Because there was a little theme song we made up on set that we'd like to sing for you now.
Yeah, and I don't know why this didn't ever take off. But it went something like this.
Patty Schwartz, party time. It's Patty Schwartz, party time.
It's party time.
With Patty Schwartz.
It's Patrick Schwarzenegger. He's riding a motorbike, holding a bazooka. It's Patty Schwartz, party time.
And now he's dating Miley fucking Cyrus.
It's Patty Schwartz,
party time.
I broke in the middle of that song there because... I'm so excited to share this. That's a real thing. First day on set, Patty showed up literally holding a bazooka on a motorbike, and we said, Patty, you got to get that thing out of here. This is a film set.
He didn't get it.
No, he didn't. He became pretty upset.
He didn't get it at all. He didn't get what. He didn't actually get what a movie set was. Truth be told.
Yeah.
Had a lot of trouble explaining to Patty. The process of what an actor is, and like,
yeah,
essentially.
And you really took the ball and ran with that on teaching him, and I really owe you one for that because you did a lot of extra shifts.
I looked after a lot of younger
one-on-one
kids,
sessions.
And you've got to teach them the difference between real life and make believe. It didn't occur to me that Arnold Schwarzenegger's 20-year-old son.
21, actually,
no. Didn't understand the distinction. I'm talking about when we're shooting.
Of course, sorry. Now, it's a funny story, actually, about how he hired Patty. We were actually working out, doing our morning workout at Gold's, and then we saw him, we loved him. We talked to the instructor, how do we get that kid to do...
He said, that kid?
That kid?
We call that kid Dynamite.
He said, that's kid Dynamite.
No. He said, we call that kid Dynamite, which was so confusing because he insisted on us calling him Dynamite. We had two kid Dynamites.
Three kid Dynamites, for getting Braden. But what he said pretty much is, if you go down the road to a place called Blaze Pizza and pick up a couple of those really quickly pan-fried pizzas that use, not pan-fried, baked, hot-baked pizzas.
Flesh-baked. And flesh-baked. Once again, you made up the process.
Yeah, I've got absolutely no involvement with Blaze Pizza. Obviously, I'm not a stakeholder. But he said, you get seven of those pizzas, come them down here, and just sort of lay a trail, Hansel and Gretel style, to the movie set.
Do you
He'll
think
be yours.
We were right to hire Taylor Lautner for this character?
Yes.
I want to take a moment to talk about Adam Sandler's wardrobe, not just in this film. But for the last 15 years, whether he's been on camera or off.
Say what you will about Adam Sandler, but he is comfortable.
Maximum comfort all the time.
That's his
actually
rule.
Got a link sent to me recently of a Tumblr account, which was like, I think it's called Die Adam Sandler, and then a bunch of eights, and then a nine.tumblr.com. And a lot of the commentary was, why the fuck are you always wearing a shirt that's too fucking big for you? And it had a bit of a camera roll. They've got a point.
I always wear shirts that are too big for me. I think it's... I respect Adam for that. That's one of the decisions he made on set, which I respected. It
makes you look frumpy and like a piece of shit.
You visited a lot of those weird Tumblr sites when we were on set, and Adam was pretty upset by that.
What was I going to do, direct these guys? No. Probably not. Yes. Fun fact about this bit of the movie, it only exists because we didn't have a trailer when we finished the movie, so we went back, made this soundstage, and shot the scene. The studio didn't like the original trailer.
Yeah.
Had to scrap it.
Jared Sandler was a real pro to work with. He was a real good guy.
Was he? My memory's a little hazy of Jared Sandler, because I was on holiday when this was shot.
That's right. Oh, this was a fun day.
Let me just check out the movie a little closer.
We got David Spade's head quite literally inside Kevin James. This was probably one of the more fun things from Kevin James' idea book. Is he said David Spade's head inside my colon, and we said, Kevin, you're going to have to sell that to David yourself because I'm not having that conversation. And Dave, it was a real sport. He was up for it. And we actually, I mean, what a lot of people don't know is we actually got David Spade's head inside Kevin James' colon on that shot.
Sure did. Sure did. Braden Higgins, this was one of the shots that made it from the original round, which we actually forgot to take out, where he was a warlock.
Yeah, he wrote that into the script. He was a warlock. What was the inspiration for that?
I've been watching a lot of Charmed at the time.
You are a big Charmed fan.
Yep. I was drawn in by the theme song, and I was held by those three lovely sisters. And the whole idea that if you get three people together, they're very powerful. That's always... it's always appealed to me. First time we see the van in shot, had to pay a lot of money. A lot of money for that van. You'll see it again here in the garage. Now, fun fact about this, we named the garage El Dorado Tires after the movie The Road to El Dorado.
That's right.
Which David Spade voices the lead in.
And now, Kevin James, this wasn't in Eliza Dare's book. This is just a personality quirk, an idiosyncrasy, if you will. He has 3 5-hour energies every minute, which can't be good for you. I don't know what is in that stuff, but he's putting those back like sort of mints, breath mints or something.
And in the full disclosure of everything, I mean, this was the most obtuse product placement. We really didn't stitch this thread up, did we?
No, it was the hem was loose on that one, you could
say.
Very
much so. It was bare for all to see. I mean, do you think that because we've given him 5-hour energy that is a storyline that will go somewhere and we didn't pursue that thread?
And we're guilty of that on a lot of the threads. The movie, I mean, I've heard, they say don't read your reviews, but I did. I had a look at mm-hmm. some of them, and people did not hold back in what they said about us and the film. They were scathing. I mean, did you dabble in reading any of those?
Well, the one that sticks out in my mind was I feel like David Spade with his head in Kevin James's colon.
That's right.
After seeing Grown Ups 2, which fucking hurt. Great line.
That was great.
Great line there by Big Dynamite, and Shaq, as we called him on set.
Shaq really shows off some dancing and acting chops in this scene.
Not everyone knows that Shaq can move. They know he can move around a court, obviously, but... phenomenal dancer.
Put the man on the ballroom floor.
There was a couple of times when we were just setting up lights and stuff, and we were sort of waiting around on set. Shaq brought his own little Bluetooth speaker in, and he taught us all how to box waltz, which was a delight. Mm. And it was just one of those times in my life where I was like, holy shit, I'm waltzing with Shaquille O'Neal right now. I never thought it could be this good.
Well, it's not something you expect, is it?
CG was a little off, but we didn't have time to correct this.
Now, Shaq thought it would be funny if we used his dick to stop the tyre.
That tyre hit him square in the crotch, because we needed it to be a little bigger.
We wanted an exclamation mark on the punchline.
What you'll notice there, if you rewind the film, thus getting out of sync with the director's commentary, is Shaq and Peter Dante were holding hands there in that shot. That was Peter Dante's ad lib, and God bless him for it.
Yeah, Peter Dante was a joy to work with. He was a real pro.
Real dynamite.
Yeah.
If I could pick one word to describe his performance.
His performance was dynamite. He was electric. He was like electric dynamite. We called him electric dynamite on set, actually.
Look at these extras. Have a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun on set. That's what I remember.
A lot of laughs. A lot of love.
It was a good week.
A lot of hugs.
Good 7 days.
Yeah. And we trashed a real frat house.
Yeah, we didn't tell them either. Boy, were they pissed.
That's right. They actually arrived back when we were shooting this scene back with the extras. And, I mean, we just hightailed it. We dropped the cameras and left. And a few of the boys actually picked up a few scrapes. We lost a few bodies, actually, there.
We had to digitally take out a couple of guys. Their faces became so mangled we couldn't shoot with them in the second half of the movie. So we digitally removed. We got the deer guy to do that from memory, actually. We said, bro, while you're here, would you mind just deleting a couple couple characters for us on account of their faces have been horribly mangled by the frat boys whose fraternity house we've just destroyed. He said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I said those two. He said, here's my invoice. I said, fine.
Yeah. I mean, that was your brother, so we actually gave him, he got a pretty good paycheck for that.
He did well.
This is the halfway point in the movie, if you are curious. I mean, I'm imagining some of you are actually watching this film right now. So well done. You've made it halfway through.
Congratulations to you. This is a bit where Guy and I like to give ourselves a pat on the back each week.
Yeah. Good job, friend.
There we go.
Now we just have to watch the second half of the movie, which I'm really excited for. It has been fun just talking right through it, eh?
Now,
it's like we can break here to talk about the experience of watching the movie for the 40th time. That's
interesting. I'm not gonna. Here's what's up now.
That was Goyle from Harry Potter.
This is not a lot of people, actually very few people know this outside of the writer's room, but we got Becky to come in to shoot these. You'll notice that they're never on
Donna.
In the same shot. Sorry, Donna, to come back in. We'd shot that very much separately. This part with Keithy and Lenny was actually a different movie.
Yes.
That never quite made it to release.
No, and we said, are you going to use that footage?
And we said, are you going to eat that?
Yeah.
And they said, no,
we're not hungry is what they said. They kept going with the metaphor and we said, gobble it up. We scoffed it. We said we'll gobble it up, and then we scoffed it.
A lot of reviewers noticed that the tone really changes in this scene. Starts to take quite a dynamic and enjoyable storyline with some stakes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a
very
a quest,
inspirational.
There's a journey
yeah.
that's being alluded to here. It looks like here's a kid who's going to grow up
and be
a football star.
I want to see more about Keithy.
There's going to be some trials and tribulations along the way, no doubt. Now, this is the bit where we had to bring it back to the Grown Ups 2 universe. Yeah. So we just had to sort of curtail.
I remember I saw a lot of the crew getting very excited on set when we were building with that scene because they didn't see the script. We just told them what to shoot. And there were some pretty long faces after we killed that storyline off immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, they were not happy. I think that's a good way to shoot, though. Don't let anyone know what's
happening.
Don't
want to let them know.
Just give them the immediate scene.
They might not like what you're about to make. And then they'd sometimes be brave enough to venture into an opinion.
Now, the good thing as well about shooting chronologically is you can put all your most ridiculous stuff at the end, like when we got Steve Buscemi to dress up as Flavor Flav, but by that stage he was already in so much of the movie, he felt he couldn't couldn't not.
Steve, that was an offer of Steve's as well, that whole arms in the air injury thing. I mean, it was sort of a bit of throwaway.
Now,
I wouldn't imagine anyone would...
If I had to guess...
Yeah, I mean, I've never really thought to guess. If you had to guess what it was that Steve was referring to.
If I had to guess...
Yeah.
I would absolutely say that it was electrocution.
Okay.
From
because you haven't seen the first movie, have you?
I didn't watch it. I wrote it.
Yeah,
but watched it.
You directed it too, but you never
never saw it.
There's no way.
Wasn't my cup of tea.
I'm not looking that gift horse in the eyes. Is what you said.
That's right, and I think we all know what I was talking about.
This was a fun scene to shoot.
So. Electrocution happens when electricity runs through your body. And if I had to guess at what had happened to Steve Buscemi, and I'm not sure if anyone's brought this up before, actually, I would say lightning. Does that feel like a new thought to you?
Struck by lightning while signaling a touchdown.
No, just struck by lightning and his arms shot up as a muscular reflex.
I like that. Chris Berman. We didn't actually get to work with him. We just took that snippet from the real days of our lives and just put it in our show. But I imagine Chris Berman would be a really good guy to work with. I think he's a real pro.
Dennis, our director who we got in for this picture, really wanted to be somewhere in the movie and actually developed quite a delightful
character. Zany character.
Mm. You'll notice the doctor later on. We'll talk about this later at the party. But if you pay attention to what the good doctor is saying, he hasn't slept in 68 hours at this point, and then the very next thing he decides to do is go out and get a bitchin'
Billy Idol costume
so he can go to the Faders.
We mapped out the timeline for this character, and he is a real party animal. I mean, him and Patty Schwartz got on great. They had a lot of fun. There were a lot of late nights or early mornings with those two.
The cool thing is, so Dennis has this trick that he does when he goes to clubs where, because he looks dead, he just shuts his eyes and stays really still, and Patty Schwartz freaks everyone out and says, "Oh,
it's a good,
he's
a good prank they do." I actually tried to go out with them a few times, but they were keen, but every time they'd go out, I actually had to cover Patty's shift down at Blaze Pizza, so I never actually made it out. You went out one night with them, and you said it was an
Dennis
absolute
did the trick.
It was raucous.
Yeah, Dennis did the trick. He did it a couple of times. We did a real weekend at Bernie's with him where it was like a double bluff, though, because in weekend at Bernie's, they've got a dead body that they're trying to fake off as real. We did the reverse because I'm a good writer and I'm creative.
Yeah. So, unique brain. That's what I've always liked about working with you. Very unique brain.
Now, we got... I always called him Kid Dynamite. In the movie, he's commonly referred to as Blow Dry Boy. We got him... We need more screen time for him because he's pretty good. Look at him there.
He was miming drinking a beer, and we said, Kid Dynamite, just be aware that it looks like you are fellating. And he said,
no, it doesn't.
It looks like I'm drinking a beer. And he really
great
went with it.
Great catch there by Kid Dynamite.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Blow Dry Boy decided to take his glasses off.
Yeah.
We decided to go with it. That was fine. He has pink eyes like a little piglet, though. Very strange to look into, which I had to do during contract negotiations.
You were very forthcoming with your opinions of people's physicality on set, and that didn't rub well with a lot of the cast. There
and
you go.
There's the famous watch shot.
It's the 21st of June, 2013.
A lot of people.
3:59.
A lot of people got a pay rise for nailing that.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't hold back with the money after that little...
Now, what you'll notice here is Maya Rudolph in the movie, Chris Rock's wife, is making
real life,
a
Paul Thomas
a voucher.
Anderson's wife, which I didn't know. Paul came on set one day, said, what are you doing here? We said, we're making a movie, Paul. And he just laughed. He laughed for about 2 hours, and then
yeah,
he just walked back off set.
Too.
Yeah, it was a good joke we made.
A good joke.
So if you're listening, Paul, g'day.
Maya Rudolph was, she was creating a voucher that said free back rub to sort herself out.
She was making that for Paul. That was a real thing she was doing. And we said, roll on that. We whispered to our cameras, roll on that.
Nobody tell Maya that she's on.
It was really sweet. She was talking to her mother. And then we edited it into the film. And we got into a lot of trouble with Maya for doing that. She said, I agreed you could record the character. You cannot record my life. But we fought hard. And the studios, we won that. And we got
sure
to keep
did.
It in the film.
Fun fact about Grown Ups too: we had more lawyers working just for the film than the Department of Justice in the United States.
That's right. And they were called Eagle Legal.
Eagles. I think they had to call themselves that because a lot of them weren't lawyers.
They were exclusively Eagles. We hired over 200 bald American Eagles as our legal team. And I mean, you should have seen the complainants trying to sort of hold court with a full-blown hawk flying around the courtroom. It was very distracting. It really worked well. I mean, between that and the Latin accounts, we really stuck it to them.
Oh, how long has that not been shooting?
I've got no idea. We've got a second feed up in the corner there, though.
You pay it, mate. Battery swap time.
All right. Now, this scene between David and Braden, you know, we thought it was lacking something, so we put that Rockstar energy drink in post-production, and it really went to town and really did its work for us. I mean, the scene before the Rockstar was put in was a reshoot, and we actually scheduled a reshoot for late December last year. And the most convenient place we could get was in Iceland. So that was going to cost us an arm and a leg. And then one of the editors said, look what I've done. He's just mocked up a little Rockstar can and put that in frame. And the scene really popped after that. And if you are looking for an energy drink, I mean, if you're feeling a bit tired at the wheel, or maybe you just got a big game or a big exam coming up and you're not quite sure what to do, I'd like to recommend Rockstar Energy. And I'm not affiliated with them in any way. I mean, I'm not sponsored. This is not a paid-for promotion. But Rockstar Energy makes you feel like a rock star, makes you perform like a rock star. So that really made that scene pop, I thought. I was really proud of that. What was that editor's name? I think it was Edward Giles. So if you're listening, Ed, cheers for that. You're a lifesaver.
Cheeky old Ed, eh? So, Lonely Island coming up.
Yep.
They were a fun bunch of
they
young
were
men.
They were larrikins, weren't they?
Mm. Did a lot of partying with Dennis Dugan.
They did. I, of course, didn't get to go. I was covering Paddy's shift at Golds.
Bury a hooker for them. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Sandberg.
That's really full on. A gigolo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There were a lot of. I mean, we lost a lot of good people on this
some bad
on this shoot,
too.
And some bad ones. Yeah.
Thank God, really made the whole process worth it for me. All right, and there they are. Here are our lads, our fine young lads.
Funny thing about this song, we asked for the rights to it from the band, and they said, we hate that song. Can we watch the movie before we sell you the rights to it? And they saw the movie, and they said, this is a perfect match.
It was weird, though, because when we were talking to the people who made the song, Warrant, in the meeting, he looked me in the eye and told me this weird story about a horse.
Mm. What was the story? It was really odd, wasn't it? What was it? It was a horse?
He started saying to me, Tim and Guy, what I've got for this picture is a beautiful gift, a musical gift that I wrote many years ago called Cherry Pie, but I've put it inside a horse for you. And he slid a little wooden horse on wheels, like a child's toy, across the table to me. Didn't know what it meant at the time. We chucked the song in, and I've got that horse to this day.
I've been around your house for dinner recently, and I mean, it's full of little wooden horses. You must have over 2 million of them.
A lot of people give me wooden horses, mate. Can't say enough about Shaq and Peter Dante as a dynamic duo. In fact, you can look forward to the spin-off. They've got a trilogy of movies coming out directed by Peter Jackson starting in 2016. Then we've got one coming out each summer.
And the trilogy is about the morning that those two characters had before they arrived at Kmart. So it's just about what Shaq and Dante got up to over that sort of 2-3 hour period.
We shot that to a lot of directors.
Peter took it. I think he's getting four. The first one's meant to be 4 hours.
Yeah,
the second one's a real marathon at 17. Mm-hmm. He's really on that second hour. He's really gone to town.
Yeah,
and then the third film we don't know. It's we haven't really slated a release date.
He's such a visionary director, Peter. Because we said, Sir Peter, what most movies do is they constrict a lot of time that's being represented into a package that's smaller than real time. We would like to do the reverse, in which a 6-hour morning for two police officers in Stanton, Connecticut transpires over 50 hours on the screen. He said, I'll do it.
Yep.
We said, thank you, Peter.
That's right. Great relationship with Peter. Now, this song that we're listening
How
to
How loud
now,
is that in your cans?
It's all right, but we actually play this song in some form through the whole movie on a loop. Even when there are other songs playing, we've just taken the master on this down so you can't. It's not audible, but it is still playing.
Do you reckon I can eat a Christmas pie?
I think you can.
We've got 12 of them, but people get upset when I eat on the mic, and I can understand.
Eat away from the microphone. So, here we go. This is David's attempt at a burp snart. He was really embarrassed that he had to try that.
That was the only swear word that made it through.
That's right.
In the movie, when
another cartoonish turn from Kevin James' brother. Real cartoon of a guy, real pro to work with. Real dynamite on set.
You used to call him Kid Dynamite.
Yeah, I did. It's quite condescending, really, because he is my senior. But why the hell not, eh? Can we laugh? And you got your first mouthful of that Christmas pie. Do you want to tell me what that's like?
Pretty good.
Sounds quite dry. Similar to the crackers with regards to the dryness.
No, man.
Your mouth is not moist. Orally. I'll take over from here while you digest that. We got a lot of product placement from Pepsi. Jesus. They didn't pay us a cent. We just really love the stuff. I mean, it's absolutely delicious. And if you are craving a refreshing cola,
man.
Is that pie not going down particularly well?
Nuh-uh. This was my favourite scene in the movie, because it's where all the rest of the sponsorship contractual agreements we had were met. That was a big problem that needed solving. That's right to the writer's room.
We agreed to a lot of sponsors, and we
floated a couple ideas. Yeah. The first one that I said was, what if we're at the Super Bowl? And every sponsor you've agreed to get on board with the picture has their own blimp, similar to the Goodyear blimp, and we just fly them overhead. And and sequential shots.
They initially were very excited by the idea. They grabbed it. But then we did a few. We did a dummy run without sponsored blimps, but with real blimps at a live sporting event. Yeah, and over 50 blimps collided in a ball of gas.
I mean, you thought the Hindenburg was bad?
Imagine
this was a Hindenburg of a Hindenburg.
Imagine 50 Hindenburgs colliding above the Major League Baseball final. Luckily, we didn't lose any lives on that one.
Mm.
By some miracle.
Lost a couple of sponsors, though. Dell Computers.
Yeah, Dell dropped out.
Carlsberg.
Yeah. Well, we were iffy on Carlsberg because we didn't know about having an alcohol sponsor.
JC Penney.
Yeah. JC Penney, that was a big loss for me. I was looking forward to the contra that JC Penney could give. What did JC Penney make again? Clothes?
Yep.
Yeah, I was really looking at wearing some JC Penney garb. Ah. This fucking movie, eh? It's just like finish for just scene after scene after scene after scene after scene. What is it amounting to? Nothing. We're on a freight train to nowhere. Just arrives at a bridge with unfinished railing. We go careening off the fucking thing into the water, into the rocks, and we all just wallow around in the shallows, crying, impaled.
So what I like about this scene is we went back to Alaska.
Yeah.
Which was a pain in the ass.
Well, we built this.
We had already come back to the main studio in LA.
Yeah. We built this.
Like, nope. We've got to get that nighttime shot. Fuck, guy said. Let's get back to the airport.
You are not going to like this, I said. Yeah, and we had to get straight back to the airport. I mean, it was a very expensive set to build, which did make it impractical having it in.
Good on you, Tanya. Just want to say.
Yeah, it did make it very impractical having it in Alaska. There are a lot of production oversights like that. And I don't know who should be held responsible for those because, I mean, we did have final sign-off on everything. So a lot of people...
We did have 600 people working under us.
Yeah.
Well, friends and whānau.
And a lot of people said that there was too many cooks. But when it comes to making movies in Hollywood, can never have too many cooks. Now
you might want to check out the movie a little bit closer up to the screen.
Tim got me with a good gag there. When Bumpty says dinosaur, I didn't know it was part of his rap because what does he say? He says that means you ain't got it. And he rhymes with dinosaur.
Sorry to be blunt, but I don't front.
I'm hardcore.
I'm hardcore.
Beat. And a lot of people said we held the beat too long.
Yeah, definitely.
For the joke to work. But
it broke the rhythm.
You still got it. Even in costume, you'll notice Adam is supremely comfortable.
I'll tell you one little fuckwit that didn't get called Kid Dynamite on set.
No,
that's Keith.
Yeah, Keithy. He's a little ball of energy.
Fuckwit.
We CGI'd the dog direction in the scene for no fun. He took direction fine. You did those mean pranks to him in his trailer, though, and that really antagonized the guy.
I actually didn't know he was afraid of snakes, so that's the difference with
that
was which a joke.
But he still didn't take that one. Neither did his parents. They actually took him off.
That's pretty funny, though, filling a trailer with snakes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's funny.
That is funny. That was really funny. Yeah, one of the snakes did, it ate his hamster, though. And that hamster was as old as him. I mean, they've been best friends from memory for Keith.
Fucking weird for a hamster.
Yeah. It was a weird friendship, too.
One of my favourite deliveries there from Selma Hayek. Probably number one for me on the list.
In front of the children.
Yeah. Really cranking that accent up to 11
there. It took a lot of takes for us to get the right energy for that. A lot of them, we thought she oversold it. So it took, I mean, sort of after about 50, we were sort of laughing to ourselves, going, I don't know if we're ever going to get the shot. Do we have one in there? But then we said, just one more, Selma. Just turn it down to zero.
Yeah.
Turn it down. Turn the intensity down to zero.
You think you're at zero? Go south of that.
That's right.
We're looking for -4.
And she finally got one.
At this point, you think the movie's ending. It isn't.
Yeah.
And it's like a cold slap in the face with a big old trout.
Our
guests are here.
I'm running out of steam for this movie. I might actually just delve in closer.
Yeah, take a look at those pixels, mate. Get them in your... Swish them around in your head. See what happens. Just be careful with that glass of water, mate. There's a There's a lot of electronics,
yeah.
Power cables around.
Situation on our hands here.
So, ladies and gents, if you're not watching the movie, but you're listening to this for some... Like, who are you if you're doing that? We're at the Fader's house. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful house. We shot this at Guy's house. He bought this place immediately after we got Grown Ups 2 signed, and we had a couple meetings with some corporations who would appreciate it if we popped their brand, you know, see if we could fit it in the film for a little bit of money. There's nothing dirty about that. That's commerce. That's how you make a movie.
And that's how we made a movie.
And that's how Guy bought this house.
Yeah. Lovely house. We destroyed it for the party scene, which was disappointing. Like, we literally, we shot a scene where we burnt it down. In real life, we burnt down my house. But it just didn't really wash with the rest of the film, so we didn't use it. And I forgot to tell, it's embarrassing, my brother and his family were staying, and I forgot to tell them. Oh. And it wasn't until they were inside a full-blown inferno that they realized, and they got out luckily, but I mean,
Jesus.
I was red in the face, and they were too. I mean, that was, and it wasn't oversight on my part, I guess, wasn't it? I mean, how was I to know? Shame we didn't use that shot, actually. It was quite a nice shot of the whole house burning.
Hold on. You'll see a continuity error here, folks. Look at the raft when it first comes out. It doesn't have any barriers in the middle to act as seats. And when we go to the close-up shot, we've put seats in.
For me, that's so obvious. I think more people would notice that. I think I noticed that on the first watch.
You saw that so... It wasn't first, but it was very early on.
It's a glaring... And the raft is inconsistent throughout the whole film.
Yeah. It keeps flicking between the seats and no seats.
That was a funny line when he says Richard Simmons is a hero to me. Mean spirited, but funny. Yeah.
Is it funny? Is it funny because he's fat?
That is the joke.
Okay. ZZ Top. My uncles.
Your uncles.
That's what. My uncle is a ZZ Top.
Your uncles. The sort of singular or plural confusion is getting me here. Your uncles
are ZZ Top, are the band ZZ Top.
All of your
Top.
Uncles are in ZZ Top.
Yes.
Wow.
Except Mike Beard.
Mm.
That's why we've costumed the two little kids in there.
We just thought it'd be funny to have people dress up like Prince at this point.
Could not get Tim Meadows' wife, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, could not get her to focus on set. And I'll point out a couple of takes where we shot it a couple times. It was no more than three. But of those three that we shot across the 7 days of shooting, she fucked up all of them. Mm. And so we just had to go with the one that she fucked up the least. Mm. And that really annoyed me. I was really perturbed by that. David Spade, though, just continuing to carry this movie on his broad comedy shoulders, he was almost single-handedly.
He was a joy to work with. He was a real pro, actually, was David Spade.
Him and Gordon Lovitz.
Yeah, Gordon Lovitz. I mean, we gave him a real turd of a script, and he made it shine. He buffed that turd right out.
Sure did. Polished it up, turned it into something really, really able to fit inside a wooden horse.
Yeah, it's a funny, we had a buffed out turd and a horse. You've got that on your mantelpiece, don't you?
Yeah.
Next to your Oscars.
Yeah. Now, don't confuse what we're saying for a metaphor. There was a real turd that we wrote the script onto. We wrote it on human shit.
Yeah. Now, my nephew and your niece, Isaac and your niece, Carol, they go out and they baked us this Rubik's Cube cake.
Yes.
We did not ask for this.
No.
And they just showed up on set with this cake. And we said, that is just adorable.
And we said, wait a minute, let's roll with this. We're at Guy's house. We're all here partying anyway. Why don't we'll get costume in here, just everyone chill out, have some drinks, but stay. We've got the film crew to come in, Soundy's got in, lighting's set up, and we just kept rolling with the party we were already having, but we turned it into a movie. And the fact that it's 80s theme is all based on the fact that Carol brought in that cake.
And there's the doctor there again in his Billy Idol costume. I mean, at this point, I believe Dennis, he hadn't slept for 2 weeks. He was frantic, frenzied.
We thought it was impressive that his character hadn't slept for 3 days, but Dennis himself
hadn't slept
awake
for 2 weeks.
Fortnight.
And God knows what he was doing. I think he did an Iron Man in Berlin, he said, and he also swam the English Channel. I mean, here's a pocket rocket. He gets a head full of steam and you cannot stop the guy. Real pro to work with, though, a real joy.
I thought so too. I thought now, so too, guy.
One of my favourite bit of extras acting is you'll see a lady just walked in behind Kevin James and she's talking to a friend.
Yeah.
Now, just bear that in mind while we discover that Kevin James' son is a musical genius.
For the longest time, I thought he was playing that. Could not figure out if it was
really good finger
or
acting.
Not.
This kid was a real pro. He was a real joy to work with.
Really good.
We called him Nigel, I think, which wasn't his name. So here are the extras in the background, and just look at how well they sell their disgust. Now,
you're right, man.
That's because Kevin actually shat himself on that take. when Kevin does shit himself, it was in his ideas book, of course. Let me tell you, I mean, everyone within a 500-meter radius knows about it, and those women were on the front end of essentially a sonic boom of shit. And that's why it was such a good take. That's why we put it in.
It was the reality of the situation sold it.
Finally, I got some audio again. It's quite silent for a lot of the film with these, innit?
It's probably because it's showing all the stuff that isn't just them talking. And you know we didn't have a big budget for post-pro on this film. You know that. Because you know what happened to that budget.
Don't you? I know exactly what happened to that budget. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
It's regretful if you haven't learned anything. So, out of context, you're right. The scene is a bit dark. It is Adam Sandler trying to lull his child into sleep by telling her a terrifying story. And then when that doesn't work, oh my God, really? That's everything. He drugs her.
Tries to.
So,
she was a resistant, and I'm proud of her. She said, I'm not taking drugs on set. She's a real pro to work with.
That was in the script. That must have been one of the ketamine days. But we wrote in that Becky did take the drugs. Again, I'm not sure.
Is there a continuity error with her costume here? She's wearing that blazer.
Mm.
Oh, no. This is great. I haven't noticed this before. Right. See, she's got her jacket all done up and you can't see her T-shirt saying, I, Lenny, Lenny.
Yeah.
That'll be because she's arriving at the party with her husband.
Is she still wearing... Oh!
But then later on, when Lenny's meant to meet her by the letterbox, she's undone her buttons to show the T-shirt which says, I, Lenny, Lenny.
This is one of those situations, and there are many, where the costume department were better at writing scripts than we were. Mm. And when we wouldn't let them in... They would tell their story through costuming.
Through costume.
And I have to admit...
They got one through.
They're better storytellers.
They slipped one through the gate.
Arguably than us. What they've done is they've put their storyline in a wooden horse, and they've put some gorgeous clothes on that horse and just left it at the actor's gates. And the actors have said, lovely, a horse. Well dressed, with a bow tie, come in.
Mm.
Which is why I'm wearing a bow tie today, Guy.
I love that global warming gag. I'm really proud of us for putting that in there.
I've got a strange affinity to the. You're going to need federal aid to clean that up.
Yeah, you do like that.
There's something pseudo. Mm. It's not political, but it's politics ish.
whatever sort of handles you have to hang on to sanity while watching the movie.
Politic-esque.
Politics.
Oh, yeah, we've missed
so
it.
So that's where Adam Sandler asks a lot of questions.
Seven.
And remember how Adam
Seven
Sandler at the
row.
Start of the movie said, I'm going to solve this problem for you, and then he just put the monkey in a box and, like, left it there?
Mm.
He is so lucky that guy learned how to sew.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he had no plan.
We got in a lot of trouble for this. We force-fed a bear to a dog down in the beer funnel, and I tell you what, forget Peter... It's those cunts who are working in the film industry who want to protect all the animals' rights that are the real threat.
Those film animal officers. That's what they're called, I believe. I was actually pretty pissed off when Shaq broke my diving board.
You laughed.
I laughed at the time, but I was furious. I was seething inside.
You just got mad when you figured out
And it was actually
much.
After that happened that we rewrote the script to burn the whole thing down and claim back on insurance.
Yeah. It's a smart move on your behalf, actually. We
made a lot of money.
I still don't know if the die in the pool thing is an urban legend that we just put in, or if it's a real thing.
It's an urban legend that we put in.
Does it not exist?
It doesn't exist, yeah.
How sure are you on that, big guy?
100%.
Are you?
I'm 100% sure.
Why?
Because someone's told it to us on a previous podcast.
Okay.
I think maybe Dom Corey.
Brayden
and Dom Corey knows everything.
Brayden Higgins is just We couldn't stop him in this party scene. Could not put a lid on that
kid. He'd been spending a bit of time just around Patty Schwartz's trailer, and he just came back from that place fizzing, really ready to go. Yeah. Eyes as wide as anything. Eyes the size of saucers. A lot of blood noses on set as well, but we edited those out in post.
Blunt noses?
Blood.
Blood noses, absolutely.
So a lot of sniffing, a lot of talking.
That makes a lot more sense than blunt noses. I'm not sure why I thought you said that. Tim Meadows. Fun fact about Tim Meadows. He's 85.
Yeah, he's so well preserved though because of those Kmart lights. That's what, how he keeps that sort
the
of
the sun's harmful radiation vigor. Doesn't yeah. get him in the tent department at Kmart.
No, well, I mean, because we're actually remembering it now. We had to shoot all of Tim Meadows' scenes inside a Kmart. So while we did have this this scene set at my house, for Tim Meadows' parts in this scene, we had to fit out a Kmart as outside at my house.
Yeah, it's weird what's happened to his skin. So he's lost the ability to process Earth's yellow sun's light. And now Kmart owns him.
Yeah.
So that's what that's about. Now, this is this is something I put in. I'll be the first to admit it. This was my journey as a child. I got bullied a lot.
Yeah.
And
by Stone Cold Steve Austin as well.
Yeah.
He used to fly over. Remember, he used to fly over from his events and he'd come down to your intermediate school and he'd kick you around the place.
Certainly would.
Threw you down the slide.
There I was thinking, it's the bronchitis again. And it's been there ever since Stone Cold kneed me in the chest once. I got infected. It's never really gone. I thought that I'd kind of get some credit points because Stone Cold Steve Austin was flying all the way to kick my ass, but the kids didn't get wrestling because I live in New Zealand and no one had a TV.
They thought it was strange, really, didn't they? Why does this big man come and beat up Tim once
like
a month?
Like, regularly.
Yeah.
It's odd. So I put it in the script, and this is kind of how I... how you resolve things.
This was quite cathartic for you.
Yeah, when you're trying to... resolve the cycle of bullying, the best way to do that is to call a fight, I think.
Fight.
Okay, hold on. Oh, how good is Stone Cold Steve Austin's
his voice
pronunciation
what?
Of the word potatoes?
I can't hear it.
Oh, you can't, can you? Sorry, it's only
it is good, though.
Potatoes. Peter Dante in the physical form of his life.
Yeah.
What, you pointed at your headphones like you were hearing...
It was getting real loud there.
Yeah, because there was some production music there.
Just to recreate it for anyone listening.
Fantastic.
If you are still watching, I mean, you're technically almost finished watching... Oh, no, there's still a bit to go, but you've almost watched Grown Ups 2.
Oh, yeah.
After we've spent so long telling you not to. So, I mean, congratulations, I guess.
And sorry.
Yeah. Isn't that a neat thought, though?
What?
Some people are actually going to get to be watching. Some people might be watching Grown Ups 2 for the first time right now. This might be the first. They might have actually held off for 40 episodes, and now they're watching it for the first time. I mean, this is a big moment for them. This is what they've heard people talking about 39 times in a row. I just considered that then. I hadn't thought about that the whole time. Do you think that's interesting? I think that's interesting.
No.
Don't you?
Well, I don't know. Yes. What do you want from me, man?
They must just have a really weird... Remember how we thought it'd be funny if people wrote down what they thought the timeline of the movie was?
Yeah.
I mean, they've all got an idea in their head of the action and how it plays out. This is the first time they've seen it pieced together
intended. Okay, that is interesting. So who are we talking about? Three people? Two people?
I don't know. I imagine lots of them haven't watched Grown Ups 2. We discourage them every week.
We do. Oh, man, that mullet guy's got a good reaction.
We've sullied you. We've taken you into a closet and we've punched you around and then we've thrown you out on the street and said, good luck. And for that, I apologize.
Like Stone Cold did to me on...
Here, see, now her t-shirt is I, Leonard, Leonard.
Mm.
And she's lost the jacket. I think that's costume planting a really good joke in there.
Good on them. God bless them and the wooden horse they rode in on. Back to a sweeping shot of the frat boys descending upon the party.
And this scene was inspired by, I had just read Lord of the Flies.
Oh, great book. Have you read anything else by William Golding?
Can't say I have.
No, neither. But I mean, I remember that book being so gripping. Surely he wrote something else which was good.
You would think so. It's such an easy read too, because it's quite short and the language is very lovely.
The novella is one of my favourite lengths of anything to read.
Yeah.
It's like a good little session with a book, you know?
Totally. Stephen King, quite a master of the novella.
I haven't read any of Stephen King's novellas.
Oh, you should. Stand By Me is based on a novella.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't watched Stand Novel, By Me.
Yeah.
Novel, no, yeah. Novel, yeah. That's what Stephen calls them.
And we're back to the film. At this point, the frat boys are interfacing with the community of Stanton, Connecticut, who are all in Fader's house.
I
forgot what was happening while we were
shooting. We thought this was a bit of a leap, that the whole university sort of part of town and the whole rest of the town just... No one got on or had any connection whatsoever.
Tim Meadows and his wife just slapping off in the background. Look at that. Just she fucking does not pay attention. Care. Focus, woman.
But to be honest, no one really cared by this point. No one was paying attention. We took the actor's scripts off them and we said, look, can you just figure out a way to end this? And they
end this.
That we said, can
guy
you
had a gun to his head at the time. Yeah, it was terrifying.
So they just ad-libbed this whole bit.
Find a way
this
to
whole
end
fight
this,
scene, they orchestrated it, they choreographed it themselves. We've spent the whole budget by now. And they quite literally, they made this up on the spot. And the only reason they were so keen to do it and didn't walk off set is they needed some sort of closure for the whole experience.
They also needed a movie to get out there and shop around, you know, go, this is me.
A lot of the actors weren't desperate. I mean, you know, you look at guys like Kevin Jarrett, they've all got their names out there. They didn't need this, but they God bless their souls, the professionals they are, they finished it.
Paddy Schwartz, let's not beat around the bush. It was pretty much just Paddy Schwartz who wanted to see this released. Paddy Schwartz is the reason the movie exists.
Paddy and Arnie's strong armed Sony to get it out there.
Yeah. You can certainly get some pretty powerful friends when you're the governor of California.
And still a pretty big figure in the bodybuilding community. I mean, he literally has a lot of physically powerful friends.
Back into movies now, though, for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What's he working on?
Think there might be a Terminator movie in the works right now.
Oh, that's cool.
I've seen him in The Expendables recently.
I know it's cold outside.
I think.
What was The Expendables like?
Really liked it. Yeah. The only problem with The Expendables is, because this is an action movie, we're at this point talking about an entirely different movie during the director's commentary. Okay, they mixed the sound down so low, so everything's bassy.
Rewind it quickly. Sorry, there's a bit where everyone's frozen on
set. We can't expect anyone to rewind because they would have to resync that.
They'll just say it at the right time again.
Just say it.
It's not like, there's just a shot where everyone on set is frozen completely and then they move. It's a frame and it's really jarring.
Way to go, guy.
Fuck.
What was I talking about?
I don't know. You were talking about The Expendables. The Expendables.
So they've mixed all the sound too low, so it's real boomy and bassy. But as a result, I could not understand anything Sylvester Stallone was saying.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't understand a fucking word of his dialogue. But still, cool movies. Dug him.
Great swell from Blow Dry Boy there.
Yep. Called him Kid Dynamite on sex. He just delivered every single take. And Kid Dynamite here bringing the noise with that bite.
I mean, if you're watching...
We called this Asian guy Sensei Dynamite because he taught us how to do our fight choreography.
Paul Hudson was very demanding in that we put in this choreographed dance scene. And we had to sell it somehow as part of a fight. So we just put another person for him to play against.
Sensei Dynamite.
He didn't know that he was in a fight scene. He genuinely thought he was dressed in a unitard for that take. And we put that Indiana Jones costume on him in post. I mean, he would not take part in a fight scene, but he was very insistent on getting that dance in there.
That was a challenge I heard as well from our visual effects department. Like tough, man.
Very
tough. Forget Smaug.
Yeah.
This was hard.
I'm just so glad. I mean, at this point, I feel my muscles start to relax, my brain starts to relax, because I know that we're nearly at the...
Sphincters are...
At the finish line.
Alleviating their pressure. That'd be weird, then you'd shit wherever you were at this point in the movie.
That's right.
I think. Is that how sphincters work? Am I saying sphincter right?
Sphincter.
Sphincter.
I say sphincter.
Yeah, that sounds
We've
more
really
right.
gone off the rails. What do you expect?
What do you want from us?
What? Honestly,
I think I'm going to click that on again.
We're dancing on the field and we're dancing on this. I always thought it was funny how this guy thinks it's hilarious. Tim Meadows is bald. I actually always think that. Tim thought that, and then I started noticing it, and that is funny.
What's that?
How excited this guy is that Tim Meadows is bald.
Yeah, it's good, eh?
I got a wild one. Wow.
It's a good stunt, eh?
Yeah, do you want to know how we did that?
Did you say, do I know?
Do you know?
No.
Do you want to know?
Yeah, because I was.
We put him on a wire. Pretty cool story, huh? Pretty simple. That was one of the times that we just followed the book. Sometimes the most obvious option is the best option.
Yes, Occam's razor of filmmaking.
Yeah, that was something we'd learned by the end of the shoot.
So, Taylor Lautner, with the most incredible kick I've seen in cinema.
Taylor Lautner is a judo expert.
A judo man, like James Bond.
Fuck. Oh, we're recording a podcast after this as well.
Maybe. See if we can double down. Look at the extras. Just not even trying over, what's his name's right
I struggle
shoulder.
To believe that deer has not managed to get that bra off its antlers all day. Or that it didn't go home and its friends were like, hey, I'll get that out for you. It's embarrassing.
Well, how's it? Oh, I guess they could with their antlers.
Yeah. But I guess once you get something on a deer's antlers, it could well be there. It could very well be there to stay.
With that shot of how the deer is coming for Taylor Lautner and where you go to a POV, really looks like it's going to gore him in the face.
Yeah, I always thought I wanted to shoot an option, but we weren't actually allowed to do any of our own stunts by the end of the shoot. I want an option where the deer actually did. We were going to use a real deer, and where it did actually pin Taylor his rib cage and actually pin him to the ground.
Yeah,
and just gore him completely.
Now, the crossfade, the cross dissolve there, was an interesting decision by Jerry. But the wrong one. Demonstrably wrong.
Demonstrably wrong. Also, I always felt bad for Nick. He gave a really good performance in the scene. Actually, he was a real scene stealer, but we just could not get him in the edit.
But you will see a little portion of his face coming up in From Memory 3.
He's already been in Edge of Frame a few times. Just what the director will be saying, what we said was, can we just get Nick in there to
there
muddy,
we
up, muddy
go.
It up?
There's
muddy
his face.
Up the shot. And there he did. Now, for a long time, we thought that this photo was of Robert O from the Kmart store as a child, but it turns out it's actually of Kevin James. I don't really understand why, because it's such a distinct character trait that someone else already has.
It's an incredibly confused gag, that one.
Yeah.
We didn't write that. It was the other guy.
We actually used this. This was just a regular crew lunch, and we shot it. We just rolled on this. So this was just a real conversation
imagine
that they all had.
This was your life, though. You fucking went out, came with your buddies,
and then what?
You came home,
your mate's
and
house.
That's what you just walked into. You didn't make any of it.
That is insane.
I got up in the middle of the night last night, famished, and I made a like a bean soup thing, tomato based bean soup. Fuck, it hit the spot. I was debating for a very long time.
Hold that thought, Tim.
Whether or not I should go to McDonald's.
We should narrate.
It's the middle of the night.
We should narrate the end of this.
Really wanted a cheese.
So Adam wanted to get one last product placement at shop for the final scene, and God bless him. So we put it in rice chips. They gave us a bit of money, and we just completely forgot about them. Not even the supermarket. You see the rice chips brand. So we just put it in his hand because we thought that a good character trait for Lenny was he loves snacking. He wakes up snacking. He goes to sleep snacking. Always snacking.
That, and we were legally obligated to
include
it.
Well, yes, and there's that too.
So, I mean, again, this is
the gripping resolution.
One of those moments where you think we've had onto an emotional core, a tender moment, and then Adam keeps acting.
Yeah.
We didn't write the last bit in.
He's got
I wrote this ending.
Yeah.
This is me, and I'm proud of it.
And I'm proud of you. I'm not proud of you, but I respect you for the ability to be proud of it, because
you respect my ability to be proud
of it.
That's
right.
Okay.
Does that, you understand what I'm getting at there, don't you?
Well, I hope not, to be honest, because it's a bit of a diss. Adam Sandler is talking to his unborn child, which is in the womb right now, barely conceived.
We were riding high for a while during that commentary, Tim, and then there was some there were some dips too, but what a journey it was.
Oh, look, this has been just a fabulous experience, Guy Montgomery. And what a journey it's been. 40 watches of Grown Ups 2 so far.
So happy you could join and celebrate with us.
It's always important to have a quick think back to before we even kicked off or episode one.
Yeah.
So there we go with Adam continuing to... I figure we can do some stuff over the credits here.
Yeah, we can just have a conversation.
So,
Live Every Moment's going to be blaring through my set.
It's I'm opening with it. And there's an encore. Do you remember that? Episode one. We watched it for the first time and I suddenly became very worried, very afraid.
Well, there was just a different... We didn't have any idea what the stickability of us was going to be back then.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it was different. It's just... It's different. Every week is different. Every week, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
And isn't that incredible? Because it's the same movie. What a crazy idea.
Well, if I could tell you through song...
Yeah.
I'd say, love every day.
Yeah.
Because before you know it, your precious time slips away. Hey, you've got it.
Yeah. Live every moment.
Love every day, yeah. Because before you know
it. Oh, shit, we got it wrong, but it's okay.
Time. Oh, shit, there's other words. I've only ever bothered
so
to
So, these are the credits. We didn't really put much thought into these. We just thought we'd go as vanilla as possible. Just fucking stitch the whole thing up.
Really?
Put it on the assembly
line. You
know
how much these titles cost us?
No, how much did we
this
pay for
the
these titles?
This is the Rice Chip sponsorship. Pay for this whole thing. This is $6 million to do the titles.
Rice Chips paid for these?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, like, roughly divvy up where shit went, the Rice Chips money went to the titles.
Shout-outs to everyone involved in the film.
I thought you were going to attempt to do a readout, but
no.
You bailed on yourself.
Norm Crosby really bought the heat as a Kmart employee. He bought a little oven. He was baking all morning. He was a real good guy to have on set. He really brought the energy up. Chris Murrell, who
good
played
joke.
Beefcake Kitty.
Beefcake Kitty?
I don't know who Beefcake Kitty is.
Fuck off,
surely
they're not naming...
That can't be David Spade's love interest, can it?
No, I thought it'd be the kid. Beanbag with arms and legs.
Beefcake Kitty.
Oh, Kitty.
Yeah.
Beefcake Kitty.
Come on, Beefcakes. It's got to be... She didn't get...
Holy name, shit, she got... So
her name should have been higher in the credits.
Beefcake Kitty. So her name's Kitty.
Apparently.
Is that ever said?
Hey, remember, didn't Tyler Spindle do a good job on that second unit? He had a really good spread of cheese. He had some aged Gouda, which I love.
We had a falling out.
Yeah, I know. You fell out with more or less every single one of these people. It must be torture for you to read the names.
I made good with some of them, though. Built bridges.
Leslie Brown. Now, she was the costumer for Mr. Sandler. I got to say, Leslie was really taking the piss with how easy that money was. She literally did not show up on set once. I'm pretty sure Leslie Brown is a Trojan tax horse.
She might not be a real world entity. We don't know. Yeah. Never met her. But fuck, a lot of money got
funneled into
whatever it is. Yeah. Leslie. Good God.
The production accountant. Big shouts to Whitney, Troy and Allison.
When we say Whitney, Troy and Allison as well, those are the three we credited.
Yeah.
Thousands are acting underneath
so
them
many
to,
names.
To
we just it was too difficult
away.
To decide who to put on the credits, so we just drew the names from a hat in the end.
And the three of them, unfortunately, sadly, now... Federal prison for the rest of their
natural
lives.
Adam Sandler had three assistants.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I remember two.
Always. No, well, that's the beauty of it. The third one's never seen.
Oh, I see.
But always around. And I think what happens is if something happens to the first two, third guy just pops in there and becomes the visible one. And then a new person that you've never even heard of pops into that third invisible position as Adam Sandler's assistant. Listen to this. Sweet. Oh, can you hear this? Have you got this music
Yeah, I got
through?
This music coming through.
Where did we get this from? Was this an original composition? Because it's quite lovely.
I feel like they just ripped it off GarageBand.
You get this in every movie. This classic thing. Like, I remember this exact style of thing happening at this point in the credits in Van Wilder as well at the end.
And I used to always stick around for credits at the end of the movie because, especially with comedy movies, they'd either have outtakes or they'd put like a little funny something at the very end.
Yeah.
So I'd... Whenever I go to a comedy film when I was a teen, I'd always stick around just curious.
What was the first movie that you, like the earliest movie you know of that did something like at the end?
The only one that I can specifically remember right now is Russia had some really funny.
Oh yeah, funny Russia was good.
Chris Tucker was so funny on set. It's that time that guy goes out of a casino and lands on a car, and Chris Tucker was like, "Damn!" And that was in Russia too. He's like, "Damn, that guy ain't going to be in Russia. That guy ain't going to be in Russia Hour 3." And I remember just cracking.
Is that an outtake?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh damn it! They should have left that in. That's just meter enough. That's nice. I like that. The earliest one I can remember, if I can take you back to the year 1987, a little John Hughes film called Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah.
And at the very end, if you wait for all the credits on that, Matthew Broderick, and the role of his life. It was so sad that his best ever movie was right at the start of his career. He comes back on and addresses the camera, barrels it right down. It's over. The movie's finished. Go home. It's real nice.
That's good.
Get out of here.
Well, let us tell you that there is no Easter egg at the end of Grown Ups 2. There is no promise of Grown Ups 3, although we have it on pretty good information. That's going ahead, which is great. Could use the top up of the bank account. I've had to spend a lot of money building a new house.
Do you remember when Columbia Pictures tried to get their name taken off the picture?
I got a reference. Justin Bieber posters provided courtesy of Brito. Star Wars, JFK presidential bust. I don't even remember where we put that. And the Smurfs.
Ah, so that Star Wars minivan was cleared. I always thought we were just hoping for the best on that. Good stuff. This is number 4,700.
This is a work of fiction. The characters, incidents, and locations portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to or identification with the location, name, character, or history of any person, product, or entity is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Just in case anyone thought that.
Furthermore, the American Humane Association would like to say that the American Humane Association monitored the animal action and no animals were harmed in the making of this production.
There's something to do with tobacco in there too. Sony, cool. Make believe this isn't happening.
Make believe, and maybe you can get out alive. This thing's really come off to a thin, flimsy tale. I'm sorry. I would have loved to have ended on a bigger note, but you know what? Everyone else in the movie didn't fucking bother, so why should we?
Thank you very much for listening to the director's commentary. We hope you've enjoyed it. It was a wild ride. Apologies if we've upset anyone. I wouldn't imagine we have.
I really hope not. We're not setting out to upset anyone. We're just setting out to watch a movie 52 times.
That's right. And every week we edge closer.
So goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And fairly well.
See you on the internet.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.